Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Today, I'm going to do sermon number 3 on what I consider a surprise series. It's a surprise to me that God would leave me on the subject matter for a moment, and we're still on church and state. We left Elijah kind of in a weird position last Sunday. We left him in the wilderness 300 miles away from the will of God by choice, and we somehow need to get him back on track before we can leave the story just like that. I didn't give you guys this scripture, but it simply says in Philippians 1 and 6, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Being confident of this, that he who began the work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. There was a work begun in our individual lives. There was a work begun by God in our nation. There was a work begun by God in the world. And the good news for all of us, no matter what seems to be collapsing around us, is that God knows how to start a thing, but he also knows how to finish a thing. And even when you're in the midst of the pain of things not going the way that you intended, believe me, it's not going the way God's will desires it, but he is still working all things together according to his will for his purpose, for those that love God and are called to that purpose. So that's a good thing. Now, what I want you to understand is, as wicked as Ahab and Jezebel were, as much as they had killed prophets, as much as they had done heinous things, when Elijah finished defeating the 400 prophets of Baal and killing them, God did not remove Ahab or Jezebel. It would seem to me that rather than killing the minions, you know, you kill the real culprit or the perpetrator. Why didn't they die? In fact, Elijah comes to him after the judgment of his nation because of his poor leadership and says, look, a blessing is coming. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, go drink, be merry, have a good, hey, relax now. Look, God has done something for you, as if he wasn't the orchestrator of the crime, but a victim of the crime. Then the rain stops, not because we have any indication that Ahab's heart is different, but the mercy of God is still available. I'm telling you that all of God's goodness is trying to lead every person to one truth: repentance. I know that it's difficult to think when your boss, your spouse, or your kids, or somebody does something wrong, how is it that something good continues to happen to them when you yourself want evil to happen to them? You know, when somebody did something to you, you say, you know what, I hope they go broke. Cheat me. And God, who's not having the same outlook on life or character as we do, is giving mercy to the person we think needs judgment and giving judgment to the person that we think needs mercy. I wanted you to see that Ahab is still in control. I mean, even though Elijah has gotten frustrated with the process of having yet to go through another thing after victory and has run away from the will of God, God left that institution intact. And I know that each of us wants different things within governmental structures to be torn down, but here's the reality. that God can prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that God can save you by many or by few. God can help us when you're under a wicked ruler or whether you're under a righteous ruler. You're not looking to man, and that's what he's trying to help you understand. He can work his game plan for Ahab, and he can work his game plan for Elijah. I want you to understand that maybe our problems come in because we know more about what the other side is supposed to do than what we're supposed to do. You know, if we really break this down, before Israel ever had a king, God was using the people, the man of God to lead. The church got its chance. We were leading the judges. And Samuel, from a child, he was leading. Look at this great prophet who set up the schools of the prophets but had two kids that wasn't like him. Joel and some name with an A. Y'all got to look that one up. And they didn't do right. And the people said, we like you, Samuel, and how you lead, but you didn't set up something to continue to govern like you. So I tell you what, give us a king. God said, fine. Give him a king. Samuel was mad. He said, the people are not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. So here's your first democratic election. The people want something other than God to rule over them. And God gave it. So now we have a king in Saul, and then we get David, then we get Solomon. Solomon takes wives that turn his heart. Then we get a divided kingdom. We get Rehoboam with Judah and Jerusalem. We get Jeroboam with Israel. And everything that God has put together is divided, and we get kings that come out of them. And 20 on the Israel side, they do wicked. We had a few righteous like Asa on the Jerusalem side, and Ahab, who daddy was really shady. We have him. It seems as if Ahab is a product of his environment, but I want you to have mercy on Ahab here simply because God is showing mercy on him. Not because you know anything new. It's because God will show mercy on who he will have mercy. And he'll judge whoever he wants to judge. If you go on, I don't just to read the end of Kings 19. We're not turning to there yet. You can see God telling Elijah, I want you to anoint two kings and your replacement, Elisha, as prophet. Two things I want you to understand here. God, because of the failings of man, did not get rid of the system. He didn't get rid of the system of kings, and he didn't get rid of the system of prophets who were designed to help us remember what the command of the Lord is and give the word of the Lord, not from within the government, but coming alongside the government.
Yes, that's right.
So when you improperly take advantage of your First Amendment right here in these United States, to your freedom of religion and religious expression, to pray, to speak boldly what thus saith the Lord. And when you cannot find in your own life, in my own life, a systematic praying and prophetic announcement coming outside of you, but yet the world around you pummeling and changing, seemingly unabated, unhindered. The thing is, maybe we shouldn't be mad at the mercy Ahab gets or the mercy the government gets. But maybe we should be a little anxious about God reviving us and reinstating us and getting us back to the place that we should be where we're speaking to what's going on. This is what today's message is about. It's about the reinstating and Elijah being revived and what revived him. It's about now his ability, because he's revived, to confront that which caused him to run and then speak with authority given from God and rebuke it. And because he's in place, and because he's speaking not what he feels and wants, but rebuking based on the Lord, you see something happen that you wouldn't think would happen. Ahab responds favorably to the Lord. It's in our hands, and today you might be the anointed Elijah who has run 100 miles, separated yourself from friends another day, gone another 200 miles, found yourself in a cave, only to hear the still small voice of God telling you, you still got to go back to work. You might be there today, giving up on your neighbors, go back to work. Giving up on your job, go back to work. Giving up on the school system, go back to work. Giving up on your community, go back to work. You can't give up. Now, the weakness of us all is an inflated sense of who you are. That is one of my chief weaknesses. I believe because I get, don't get offended. I believe because I get more things right than the average person, that I'm somehow a bit above. That's what happens. I'm just telling you the truth. But it happens at different levels to everybody. You just pick your people. Well, I know I'm doing better than them. Okay? And the moment that you have this false confidence in yourself versus where it should be with God, that you don't understand this little chink in your armor that's going to come knock you down. And I remember almost 2 years into my marriage, you know, I had that disagreement with my spouse that had that internal statement coming to me. Let us say the wrong thing right here. The wrong thing right here, and I'm out. Go ahead. Just give me the attitude. Give me the voice. Just give it to me, Debbie. Just give it to me, because you know what you're going to, I'm going to be gone, baby. And you know what? I took that bait of Satan. Oh, you said it. Okay. I slammed my hands down on the table. You can have it all, baby. Have it all. Walked out the house and left in the middle of the night. Left the money, the car, and everything just stranded. And you know, you get far enough away from all the provision God made, what you left started looking good. Man, she just got done cooking it. I should have waited till I ate first before I left. And the temptation came to me in the dark. I fell down a hill. It started raining. And I did. It's all true. I ended up face down in a sewer drain. I can't even leave good. And I say this to God, because you didn't fix her, I refuse to get up from this place. Because you didn't make it easy for me, I hold my gifts hostage from you. And whatever you wanted from me, guess what, buddy? Because I couldn't get stuff from you, you can't get nothing from me. I'm in the gutter. And I know that every moment I stay here, it's going to be hard for you to recover me. You ever been in that place where you've dealt the ultimatum to others and to God? And God did for me a quicker work than seemingly he did for Elijah. He picked me up. I remember strength coming to my body that I didn't ask for.
I remember marching myself back home, and I remember hearing words come out of my mouth. Baby, I'm sorry, I don't know what. I don't even know what's going on to me. And I remember her not repenting like I repented. Only for God to make it clear the position he'd given me and the position he'd given her would not change. And when she was off, he was willing to give her mercy. And when I'm off, he's willing to give me mercy. And when we got to come together in our imperfection, he's willing to deal with it until we want to do what the scripture says with the two to become one. I don't know what you cashed out of because you didn't like God's governmental structure. Maybe you don't like the head of your household. I don't know why he the head. I'm more educated than him. I'm making the money. I'm doing it. I know how the world may be working, but relax that. God gave him a position. Doesn't change. Doesn't change. You can pray. He gets some money knowledge. But just like you don't have power over the government, we don't have power over any God systems. You don't have power over the traffic light. Go change it. Go change it right now. Let me see that. So relax. So here we go in Kings 21. We can see something happen or something get revived that had previously been lost. Verse 17, here we go. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, before you can get revived, you know what you need? You need a word. And every day the enemy tricks you to stay out of your Bible, stay away from preaching, stay away from church, stay away from small groups. Do you think the world is going to fill your heads with words that come from God? And yet, do you think you're going to survive without the word that brings light and life? Do you think you're going to get revived without the source of revival himself coming? The one who can say, let there be light, and then there is light? No. There is no revival, Elijah, until the word consistently and repeatedly comes to you. Came to Elijah saying, arise and go down and meet Ahab, the king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to take possession. And ye shall say to him, thus saith the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession? And ye shall say to him, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick up the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick up your blood. So basically, Elijah is given an assignment to go back and confront his arch nemesis. Elijah has been off of the scene in Israel. Israel has had a couple of wars. It's been about 3 years. We haven't seen Elijah in some time. We've seen other prophets doing the job that seemingly the senior prophet should do. But we have Ahab losing his mind yet further. He has seen a vineyard next to his palace. He likes it. He goes to the owner and says, look, I'll give you a better one or some money for it. They refuse. Then he got so disturbed that he got depressed. He stopped eating. He started laying on his bed. Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said, what's wrong, baby? He said, Naboth won't give me the vineyard. She said, baby, don't be crying about that. You the king. I'll hook it up for you. She said, give me a sister. So she wrote some letters, and she got people to accuse Naboth of blaspheming God and the king, got him stoned to death. And Elijah is being told what happened, and that Ahab is going to Naboth's vineyard right now after he has murdered him to take it. I want you to go meet that brother in the midst of an egregious sin, in the midst of his happiness. And this is the two people on the planet you ran from. This is the boss you got to go back to. This is the job and the neighbor. You got to go back and go back with a word. here is one of my chief sins represented right here, is that for the whole of my life, God has given me a word. And that word is only reviving me when I obey it. The word itself can be actually just, it can hurt. You don't want to do this, Elijah. I can remember going through a season where God had given me so many words, and I boycotted using the prophetic voice for about 18 months, maybe 24 months. And I had just a string of people's lives laying ruined and laying wrecked because I had repeatedly told them things in the past they didn't do, and I had no faith that they were going to do what God was telling me now. So I said, forget it, I'm not going to tell them. I'm done. Only for God, and I've told the story many times, to visit me in the middle of the night for a 3.5-hour confrontation where the angels of the Lord and the Lord was in the room. And all I can tell you is I will never do it again, because it's certain things that are worse than dying. And that's falling into the hands of a God that has the power and authority to keep you alive and still deal with you. It's all fun and games until the King of Glory comes in. It's all your choice until he say, you mistaken what I'm talking about with you. So now Elijah has to go back and deal with the guy that's doing sin and comfortable in it. It's nothing wrong. I mean, it's better to come meet somebody when they know they're wrong, not when they don't even know they're wrong. And so, verse 20, and Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? I mean, that's a greeting. Now, Lord done sent you to somebody with the authority to kill you, and he still remember you an enemy. He answered, I found you, because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. I will utterly burn you up, and will cut you off from Ahab, every male, bond and free in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. For the anger to which you have provoked me, and because you have made Israel to sin. And Jezebel, the Lord said to her, the dog shall eat Jezebel within the walls of Jezreel. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dog shall eat him. And anyone who dies in the open country, the birds of the heavens shall eat them. You know, Elijah is not talking like a man disappointed that things didn't go his way. He's talking like a man with a divine assignment to tell the people in authority what they're going to fix or what's going to happen and what the judgment is. You got to understand, this is no simple thing to go into a king and tell him something. He had just had a man killed for his vineyard. He's been killing prophets for years by the hundreds. He is not afraid of Elijah. He's not afraid of the God of Elijah. He's not afraid to sin. And God will send you to places where people have already shown the pattern that they don't care about you or your kind. Will you still go, Elijah, and rebuke them? Will you still go and not tell them how you can be make some type of deal that gives them permission to do some of the sins, just don't do the real bad sins? Are you coming to give those in authority a pass, or are you coming to give them a rebuke? Too often we have given people around us a pass because of the sin inside of us. Because when you judge someone else's sin, the very thing has to be judged in you. I can't tell people not to commit adultery if I'm doing it. I can't tell people not to look on the internet if I'm doing it. I can't tell people to do things that I myself am not checking my life on. So because Elijah has now done the work to remove fear, doubt, and unbelief, because Elijah has let the word come and revive him, Elijah can now speak a clear rebuke to the authority. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ here in America, are we revived enough to speak a clear word to the governing structure? Are we holy enough? Are we aligned enough? Are we revived enough? Or do we still need to let the judgment start at the house of the Lord so that when we come out with the rebuke, we can't ourselves be said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Who are you to tell me? You know what y'all got going on? Yeah, the separation of church and state may not have been the state's fault. Maybe it's mine. I know what it's like to tell somebody. It's tough to rebuke somebody to the point, if you never had to do this, it's maybe to rebuke somebody to the point that I'm going to tell you, you are going to die swiftly. That's a serious word, isn't it? That's a serious word. I've had to pronounce that. That's not to be weird or funny. That's just when people don't repent. The power of life and death being in tongue, you think that was a little cute scripture? Ooh, that's good. I'm going to speak some stuff. Oh, no. I told a man once, he said, man, I'm going to kill you. I said, please don't say that because God's got a judgment out on anybody who ever says that to me. That man is dead. Died within a year. No, died within a month of saying it. It would be strange. Harry Gomes was one of my good friends. They was attacking his life. They were sending voodoo curses and hexes. About 6 witch doctors, all of them died within a month. If you work for the Lord and your assignment is from God and you yourself have yourself in order, you can go and do what you have to do without reprisal. Well, you know, you don't want to speak against the government because, you know, that could be treasonous. Well, hold on. Don't be like Micah, who just got caught up in whatever the prophetic voice was at the time that was not God's voice and told the king, yeah, you're going to go into battle and win. And the king said, tell me the truth. He said, you go into battle and die. That's serious. What has happened to our voice that we don't feel in enough right standing with God to declare what he says? Now, I don't have any sense that God wants somebody to go tell somebody they're going to die. But this is your last day on earth. You probably haven't exercised your faith at that level, or you're in a relationship with God at that level to even know what that means or comprehend it. My point is that you are an authority in this earth. You have been assigned the rule. And when something is not in place, you have the authority to move it out of the way. When righteous men don't rule, it's just because we're hiding. That's it. Nothing changed. Finally, what if we were to act like this, like Elijah? What would we get? What would the response possibly be? There was none who sold himself to what was evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab, whom Jezebel, his wife, incited. First thing I want you to understand before you hear this, this is as wicked as it gets in that day. This is as heinous as it gets. This is the ultimate criminal, one with authority and power and being self-righteous about it. He acted very abominably in going after idols, as the Amorites have done, whom the Lord has cast out before the people of Israel, and whom Ahab heard. When Ahab heard those words, he tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth on his flesh and he fasted and laid in sackcloth and went about dejectedly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, have you seen how Ahab have humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but in his son's day, I will bring the disaster upon his house. Because Elijah got revived and the proper rebuke showed up at the right time, a man had an opportunity to respond. And his response produced for him the mercy of God. What if we just show up? We won't have to remove anybody. What if we just pray for the change of heart of everybody in authority and come up and tell them what the penalty would be if we don't change. And it wouldn't be something weird. It would just be the wages of sin is death. If you continue in sin, you die quicker. Okay? But God showed him mercy. And I know sometimes we forget how much God loves us. But if you ever want to know how much God loves you, think about the worst criminal you know, the worst crimes you know, the atrocities done to humanity, all of the genocide. And yet God, as long as he allows a person to have breath in their body, will be trying to show them goodness and favor so that they will repent. And Revelation tells us that he showed Jezebel goodness and favor, but she just would not repent. God is always trying to get us to turn back and to respond. So I don't know whether you're Elijah today who needs to just get back on your job. I don't know whether you're estranged from God, being like Ahab around all the things of God, but have learned to do a pattern of evil that makes you feel safe and secure, but yet you're far from God. Both groups of people need to respond. Both groups of people, the church and the state, have a responsibility to harmonize, because it's the will of God that they do. It's the will of God that the way that the church serves the government is through prayer and prophetic words. It is the will of God that the government govern righteously.
Yes, right.
And that when they forget, the prophet will come in and say, that's not right. But it's harmony. It's not takeover.
That's right.
The government can't take over the church. The church don't need to take over the government. We just both need to do our part. Stand to your feet. Ministry team, if you're here, you can come down. You know, here's the funny thing, church. Be easy for me to change the station, but I got a word. And this word is what will revive our nation. It will revive your community. It's not an accident. And some of you just need a word. Today, for the altar call, if you're the Elijah that needs to say, you know what, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm gonna deliver the words. You need to come down and kind of maybe get ministry. We're going to open it up for you. Maybe you're Ahab who realized that God's grace has been on you, and the only reason you're not dead, the only reason you're not diseased, the only reason you're not out the game is because of the mercy of God. And maybe you just want to come get it right today. So whether you're Elijah or Ahab, when I conclude, you need to come down and get prayer. We're going to pray for you. Lord, I pray that you bless the people as we leave this place without your presence, that you would break the heart so that man won't be stubborn but repentant. God, teach us, lead us, guide us into the truth we need to know. We thank you, God, for all the things you've done and you're doing. Bless our president. Bless our Congress. Bless our Supreme Court. Bless our governor. Bless our mayor. Bless our councilman. Bless our school board. Bless all men in authority everywhere to submit to you, to be righteous, and to change what needs to be changed, and to submit where they need to submit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Dismiss. Give God a hand clap of praise. I love you. Any prayer needs whatsoever, we're here to meet your needs.